America is in the middle of a radical change in the way we think. And the way we think is impacting every area of our lives. Today it's called postmodernism. You say, well, what is postmodernism? Postmodernism teaches that truth does not exist, that all lifestyles, all religions, all cultures, and all worldviews are equally valid. In fact, it believes that your opinions carry the same amount of weight as evidence. Every view is valid. And therefore, every person's opinion must be respected. And in the thinking of postmodernism, the only real sin is when you criticize somebody else's views or their moral choices. And so because postmodernism is the way America thinks today, most of America, because of that, there is no truth. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe there is truth, and we must be able to defend that truth and communicate that truth to others in love. That is one of the major purposes of the Church of Jesus Christ. We're in this series on the book of Acts, and we're talking about unleashing the church, and I want to talk to you today about what makes the church so special anyway. First of all, the church is a place where truth is told. John chapter 8. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." See, I believe the church should be the one place in society where we can go and hear the truth. Because people today are confused, they are hopeless because they don't know the truth. And Jesus says, when you know the truth, it will set you free, it will release you. God is truth. Jesus came full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. The Bible is called the Book of Truth. And yet that same Bible tells us that unbelievers will distort the truth. They will suppress the truth. They will refuse to follow the truth. They will even oppose the truth and deny the truth. In the contrast, we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to worship the truth, to speak the truth, and to walk in the truth. And the history of this church is our desire is to continually speak the truth from the Word of God. So how do we unleash this truth? How do we unleash the church? If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Remember the key verse in Acts chapter 1 last week? Jesus basically said, I want you to go and wait for the Holy Spirit's power to come upon you. Wait, and when I give you the power, you can go out and do ministry. And so the disciples are all gathered together in the upper room waiting for God's power that he had promised to them. Verse 1, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, or some translations say other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. In other words, there are three signs that accompanied the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost: the sound of a rushing wind, tongues of fire, and believers praising God in different languages. Verse 5, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Truly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Let me illustrate it this way. It would be like I would be speaking to you in English, but there would be some of you maybe in the service from Romania, and you would hear in Romanian. There would be some of you from China, and maybe you would hear in Mandarin. There would be some of you maybe from Mexico, and you would hear in Spanish. There would be some of you from Texas, and you would hear in Southern. In other words, I would speak in one English, but you would all hear according to your own tongue. And so when the people heard this, it says some of them were bewildered and amazed and, whoa, what's going on? What's this mean? Other people made fun of them. They said, hey, those guys are drunk. And so Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. Now, Peter is the guy that, remember, first guy to jump out of the boat and walk on water, first guy to stick his foot in his mouth and deny Jesus Christ. But Peter seems to be the spokesman for the disciples. And so they're all gathered together. Peter gets up in Acts chapter 2, and he preaches the first gospel message recorded in the book of Acts. He preaches with boldness and confidence. What is he preaching about? He wants to preach the truth about Jesus Christ. Secondly, the church is a place where the truth is told about Jesus. What is the truth that we need to tell about Jesus? First of all, he's the living Son of God. Look at verse 22. Men of Israel, he said, listen, Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He says, wait a minute. Jesus lived the same time a lot of you were alive. You saw him walk around this part of the country. You saw him perform miracles. He was, in fact, the living Son of God. Secondly, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. Thirdly, they said, Jesus arose bodily from the grave. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And he continues on to preach, and in verse 32, he says, all of us standing here, we are living eyewitnesses of the fact that this same Jesus who you crucified was alive and has risen from the dead. He concludes by saying, Jesus must become your Lord and your Christ. Verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Notice the two things. Lord, the word Lord is difficult for us Americans to understand because we don't have lords. He would be our king. We don't have kings. It's difficult. It basically means that when you accept Jesus as your Lord, everything comes under his authority and his control. He is Christ, which means he is our Savior. He offers us salvation and deliverance from our sin. And when they heard this, it says they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They said, whoa, we didn't understand. He was God's anointed one, the Savior of the world. And they said, what in the world should we do about this? Number three, the church is a place where the truth is told about salvation. And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are two requirements here, he says, for salvation. One is repentance, and one is baptism. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. It's the change in the way you think about Jesus. Secondly, it's a change of behavior, the way you act. You see, repentance brings godly sorrow, and godly sorrow creates a desire to change. That's different from worldly sorrow. What's worldly sorrow? Worldly sorrow means we're sorrowful because we got caught. Not that we want to change. I'm upset because you caught me, but I'm going to keep doing the same thing and hope you don't catch me again. But godly sorrow means, whoa, my heart's been convicted and I need to change. It's also a change of allegiance. Meaning what? A change in your priorities. You no longer are living for yourself, you're living for the Lord. In my opinion, the American church is full of people who've accepted Jesus Christ but never changed. They might have raised their hand, they might have said a prayer, they might have walked forward in a church, but they've never changed. Why? Because there is no evidence of repentance. Oh, we like the Savior part. We like to accept Jesus as our Savior because we don't want to go to hell. But this idea of giving him total control and allegiance over all of our decisions, boy, that's a totally different matter. Baptism is a statement of our new beginning in Christ. Baptism is a drama of our death to ourself and the values of the world, and we are a new birth in Jesus Christ. And so repentance and baptism signify that Jesus is my Lord. He's my King. I died to myself, and I'm alive for Jesus Christ. There's also two blessings in salvation, and that's the forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, forgiveness of sin is a removal of my past. My sins are washed away. I got a new beginning. And the gift of the Holy Spirit is the power for our future. You have the Holy Spirit, dynamite power, living within you. Forgiveness of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit signify that Jesus is my Christ. He is my Savior. And after Peter said this, it says 3,000 people responded to his sermon and they went out and were baptized. Now, many people go to church week after week. Many of you have maybe come to church week after week, month after month, and you've never been baptized. And I want to say to you, what are you waiting for? I want to encourage you to make that next decision. This weekend, we have baptisms after services on both campuses, and I want to encourage you to go out and say, hey, I want to be baptized. You say, wait a minute, I didn't come prepared for that. We came prepared for you. There'll be a pastor there after the baptism, after every service. We have towels, a change of clothes, whatever you need. This could be your day when you need to say, this is something I've been putting off. I need to do, make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. You say, boy, it's cold. I don't want to do that. Well, that's a baptism you'd remember. So maybe that's what you should do. All right? Number four, the church is a place where the truth is told about community. In verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayers. Underline the word devoted. They devoted themselves. Devoted means they were persistent. They kept at it. And I want to ask us, what are we devoted to? What is it that dominates our thoughts, our time, our money? See, the early Christians were not content to be once a week believers. Their Christian faith was a day-to-day reality, not a once a week routine. Notice what they did. It says they what? They had the apostles' teaching. That means they studied the scriptures that they had together. Number two, they had fellowship. They did life together. They shared life. Thirdly, they ate together. The breaking of bread. This could be a potluck meal. Remember, a lot of them were kicked out. They lost their families when they accepted Christ. So they would come together and eat and share their food. They would also remember the Lord's Supper. That was central to everything. Fourthly, it says they prayed together. They prayed for the power and boldness to share Jesus Christ. Now look at this. They studied the Bible together. They prayed together. They did life together. They ate together. It sounds like they got this idea from CCV's neighborhood ministry. You see, in America today, we are way too individualistic in sometimes, and we believe that God created us to go through life and we can do it ourselves, especially most of us men. Hey, I can do it myself. God did not create us to go through life alone. He created us for community. And that's why our neighborhood ministry is so vital to each of us and to this church. You say, well, I don't need to be in a neighborhood group. Really? I do. I need that accountability. I need that spiritual growth. It's a place where I can meet my neighbors and I can't come across as pastor. I'm done. I'm one of the neighbors. They know me. And it helps me be more real and relate to them in a real setting. It is vital for my spiritual growth. And I want to say to you, every one of you need the same thing for your spiritual growth, because God's commandments are we need to love Him and love each other. And the only way we can love God is by loving others. We need each other. God created us for community. Number five, the church is a place where the truth is told about us. It says in verse 47, they praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. What do you mean they enjoyed the favor of all the people? The people saw the way the early Christians took care of each other, and they said, whoa, they're different. How were they different? Number one, they were authentic. They were real. They were transparent. One of the things I hear people say a lot when they come to CCV, and I say, what did you find out different about the church? They will say, you guys seemed real, which I take as a compliment. We must be real. That means we can't claim to be smarter than everybody else because we're not. We can't claim to be more religious than other people because we're not. We're all sinners. We've all made mistakes. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But we can claim to have discovered the truth. We can claim to have discovered hope and meaning and purpose. The early believers were authentic. Secondly, they were generous. It says here they voluntarily shared their resources to help others. And a lot of people say, no, this is communism. You no longer do this. This is not communism. Communism is forced sharing. Christianity is voluntarily sharing. There's a big difference. You say, what's the deal? A lot of them lost everything. And they came together and the people said, whoa, if there's a need here, they sold their possessions and put that together and say, hey, whatever needs we have in this community with other believers, we're going to meet those needs. Wow. No wonder they enjoyed the favor of all the people. No wonder people saw that and said, we've never seen anything like that in our lifetime. We want to be a part of that. No wonder that it says people followed Jesus Christ and made decisions to be Christ followers every day. Why? Because that community life was special. That church was special. I want you to watch this video, because this video is powerful, And it basically is a living example in our church of Acts chapter 2 of what happens when we live out the love and concern for other people. I want you to see what happens. Watch this.
I got involved in neighborhood ministry. It was one of those really revelatory moments. My wife said, hey, you're going to be leading our neighborhood group. So we started off with just one other couple. Now we've grown to sometimes we have 24, 25 adults and, you know, 10 kids. I've been really fortunate in our group that we have people that when we come up with a plan to help someone, or to come along somebody that needs it. I just have willing families that just say, what do we have to do? The Woodhead event was, and I call it an event because it was something like I'd never seen before. It was unplanned. I don't know the Woodhead family, or I didn't before this, but I coach football in the Stars program, and we were told that there was this family in our program that the husband had been hit by a car out of praising the house. And I said, I want to do something. And I got a couple other guys because I knew I was going to need some help.
A few of us got together, Jason Wright, Mike McLean, Chris Wisely, and myself, and just tried to figure out the best way to approach it and get everything done.
It was pretty cool because we had to take all these different personalities of these group leaders, mesh them together to kind of kick it off.
We're going to, you know, send out some emails and put up some signs and hopefully some people will donate some stuff. And our goal in our mind was, heck, let's see if we could raise $5,000. Really, the biggest thing we did is we just prayed. It's amazing what God can do with so little. I mean, people were tremendous, donating, working. We had people helping go pick up. They just, people I'd never met. Showed up and were helping us pick up items that were donated all over the valley. You know, we don't have an enormous piece of property, but it's a third of an acre, and our front yard's pretty big. And that goes our driveway, our yard, our courtyard, the sidewalk. I mean, everything was covered with something. The biggest thing I noticed at the very beginning was how many people were just selflessly giving. People I'd never met showed up to help, and they brought their kids. And it was just really evident to me that so much of what we teach our children is caught, not taught.
I was asked to help because I have a trailer. So the connection there is that I use my trailer to pick up stuff Wednesday, Thursday. And when I saw the yard and I saw, oh my gosh, this is a ton of stuff. I'm like, are they going to try to sell all this? And then I realized that this was bigger than us.
I went out with a small group of guys that picked up furniture. And I looked in just amazement. And it wasn't a garage sale. This was just something huge.
And I think within a couple hours of myself and a couple other gentlemen bringing stuff up to the house, the front yard just exploded with stuff all over the place. But there must have been 20, 30 people there just organizing clothes and merchandise and putting tags on stuff.
You couldn't see from the street to his house. And it was that in and of itself, and people's generosity was just overwhelming. You could just see the outpouring in a neighborhood.
We just kind of got our troops together and we decided that we were going to be all in.
The opportunity to do that for the Woodhead family was a big deal. I loved seeing all the just all the people helping, but also all the items that were donated. And it was fun to give something back to someone. Instead of it being all about yourself as a 13-year-old teenager, you kind of surround your life about you.
The next step was obviously trying to sell some stuff. And the next morning, it was just unbelievable how people just started showing up in droves.
We went up there to see what was going on. And when we showed up, we were amazed at the amount of stuff that was in front of this house. And we didn't introduce ourselves. We didn't tell anybody who we were. We just pitched in and we just said, hey, these guys need help and we're gonna be here to help.
People started coming really early and most people were surprised, I think. You know, it's like, why are you doing this? You don't even know these people.
I asked Chris what had been done, if they had contacted the news, and he said, no, not really. And I said, well, you know, what if I try and get in touch with Channel 12 and the Hero Central, and let's just see if we can't get some news channels out here. So, you know, it was short notice. And then the next thing we know, we hear from Chris that after, you know, early that morning, they have a crew there.
No, it's a great day. We can start the show with a celebration of heroes right here in our own community.
That's right. A viewer sent Lindsay Cooney an email alerting us to a huge garage sale full of hearts. Tonight, the 12 News Hero Central Spotlight shines on the hundreds of people coming together in Peoria to help a family in need.
4 weeks ago, Mike Woodhead was appraising a home in downtown Phoenix when he was hit by a car. He's still in the hospital tonight. His wife, Jerry Lynn, has been by his side.
$25?
Okay. If I get it, I was just curious.
It's negotiable is what I'm saying. Just tell me what it's for charity, it's for a good cost, so just tell me what you want to get.
Okay.
Thousands of items for sale.
A dresser, nightstand.
Got it.
We knew that there was a garage sale going to happen. Had no idea it was going to be at this level.
Everybody in the community has just stepped up.
To benefit Jason Ramsey's brother-in-law, Mike Woodhead, and his family.
There's just really no way to explain it. Just so much giving. The amount of support and contribution that all these different community groups are putting in, it's unbelievable.
So yeah, it does work. Do you want it?
An outpouring of support from friends, church members, neighbors, and strangers.
And like, we got to do something to help this family.
It's all here on Chris Wisely's driveway. He doesn't even know Mike Woodhead.
I expect to meet him. You know, I'm looking forward to going to church with him.
Volunteers have been working day and night to stock the driveway.
As you can see, this is half the stuff's already gone. Everyone that has been here has said, I've never seen anything like this.
So far, they've raised $5,000. That doesn't include all of the items you see here.
So I pull around the corner. I go over to take a peek at this yard sale he's doing, and it was just astronomical. It was of major scale. My family and I, we were just floored as to the outpouring of the community. Chris is just a super nice guy. I introduced myself, man, he just opened up his arms, gave me a big old hug. And what brought you to do this? And he says, you know, I just prayed about it, and it wasn't a matter of if I should do it, it's a matter of, okay, when do I start? Where do I start? What phone calls do I make? It's just, that's what I do. He says, I prayed about it, and it just happened.
Through this process, I work for a dealership locally and I run a service department, and I was looking for a service advisor. And Chris said, hey Scott, I got somebody for you to meet. And so he introduced me to a guy named Glenn. And
there was a guy that worked for me years before that I hadn't seen. It worked with me in the car business. He was a service advisor. And I said, how are things? He said, well, I just lost my job a couple days ago. Wouldn't you know it, I look over my left shoulder, Scott's like 4 feet from Glenn and I.
Monday, we interviewed him, and by Friday, we were hiring him. And it's just unique how this all worked out. Hey, God was at work in this place, in this way, and it blew the minds of lots of people as a result.
I'm Shelley Sauer, and these are my kids, Bryce, Bennett, Bailey, and Bella. In 2008, my husband was really sick. He was in the hospital about a dozen times, in and out. And then we did lose my husband the day after Christmas in 2008. And a couple months ago, the house that we were renting went into foreclosure. And the bank gave us a certain amount of time to get out. And it was a holiday weekend, and we didn't have any help to move. And it was the same weekend they were doing the giant community yard sale.
Well, we've known Shelly probably since, I think she met my wife in 2007 here at CCV, and she was scheduled to move out that Saturday. And Jolie told me that everyone that had volunteered to help her move had canceled on her. Chris and another one of the neighborhood small group leaders, they were standing next to me, and Chris just looks at me and says,
we got this big trailer, let's send a crew of guys over there and move her. I mean, it was just it wasn't chance that we had this 24-foot trailer that was donated and all this free labor, and it just happened to be the same day. That's just, that's not chance.
And within 30 minutes, they had like six or seven guys committed to help remove.
They got a bunch of men together in a trailer, and they came over and they moved us. And they moved us within an hour and a half. And we needed the help, and they helped us. And I couldn't have done it without them. So it was a blessing. And the people of the neighborhood groups have definitely showed us God's love. I just want to thank everybody that's blessed our family, that's helped us from all the neighborhood groups for the past 3 years. Thank you. We are truly grateful.
What went on throughout the day that became tremendous is so many people were buying these big items that they couldn't haul home. And so we had a trailer that was donated. We would load up their items and take them to their house. And when we would get there, our delivery team would end up coming back with more than they left with. By the end of the night, we had made like $10,000 on the first day, or 12th, I don't even remember, some crazy amount. And the yard was just as full as it was when we started to begin the day. And there's no way that you could look at that and not think, man, there's something else going on here besides just some people having a garage sale.
Well, and then there was another family that they had five foster kids that the day before had literally been dropped on their doorstep. And they were coming and donating and looking to purchase things at this yard sale. So I called Chris over and I told him what was going on, and we decided that when the yard sale was all over, there was such an abundance in particular of clothes that we were gonna let this family with these new five foster kids come back and just, you know, take as many, each get a bag of clothes so that they could take care of them for whatever time frame they had. And so I think that yard sale in and of itself affected more people than we'll ever know.
Net effect of Chris's actions and all the volunteers from CCV that pulled together to make that community yard sale happen, it didn't just impact my family directly. Indirectly, it impacted the entire community. And I think what it really did is it sets the example as to how we're supposed to treat one another. You know, this not only sets an example for us, but it sets an example for a lot of children. Sets the example for his children, my children, and we need to learn to rely on each other as a community to get things done properly. Through the whole Chris Wisely thing, it opened my wife's and my eyes to, we should be opening up our hearts to the community as the Wisleys did for our family. We were presented the opportunity to invite a 11-year-old little girl into our home because she needed a home. So we opened our doors up and provided a place for her to be.
But I'll tell you, looking back at the very beginning, 2.5 years ago, my wife said, hey, you're gonna be leading our group. And I'm, oh yeah, yes, dear. And one of those things, and I kind of fought it. You know, the church in Acts kind of meets like our neighborhood groups do. All these small groups and homes are around, you know, in these areas, and you get to do life together. And we've had problems, families have had stuff go on in our group, and other families come alongside and help them. And we're really diverse. We've got a couple in their 70s, and we have couples in their 20s. And we have a single lady, and we have families with 4 or 5 kids. Probably the biggest impact for me is when I say, hey guys, let's try this. And then we have no idea what we're doing, but we got a desire to serve, and then it ends up looking like some massive thing like the Woodhead garage sale, or maybe it's just something small like buying, you know, somebody a Christmas gift or taking them a meal. What it ultimately does is it gives us opportunities to step up and help others.
On behalf of the Woodhead family, there's no words or anything we can say or do to express our gratitude for the outreach and the love and support and the prayers that you've given our family.
Thank you. don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm a part of a church like that. That is the book of Acts. That is what makes the church special, and people will want to be a part of that. And I thank the groups all over this valley that are doing big things, small things. When I watch that, it reminded me of Jesus with the loaves and fish. You know, they just kept breaking it, and they hauled it away, and more came, and more came, and more came. So the takeaway, what will make CCV special? Here's what I want to leave you with. Not criticism and conformity, but compassion and cultural contrast. Not criticism and conformity, but compassion and cultural contrast. Now, I know your blanks are filled in. Don't check out. Hang with me. What do you mean, not criticism? Too often, the church in America today is known as what it's against. They're fighting against this, they're fighting against this, they're fighting against that. That's not our style. We want to be known as what we're for. We're for exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. We are for boldly proclaiming that the Bible contains truth. We're not against criticism. We're not for criticism. We're not for conformity. What's conformity? I think too often today, Christians look, act, and live like everybody else. And if we conform to everybody else and we allow the world to squeeze us into their mold, we're not attractive. We're not salt and light. We have nothing that other people say, man, I want what you have. So what is it that we must have? We must have compassion. That's what that video showed. It's simply showing the love of Jesus Christ so that we can earn the right to be heard and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I also believe that we need to have cultural contrast. We've got to be comfortable with being abnormal. I want to repeat that. We've got to be comfortable with being abnormal. Would you write this down? Be comfortable being different. Be comfortable being different. I didn't say weird. Be comfortable being different. There is a difference. Be comfortable being different. Some of you maybe been raised in families where there was a lot of pressure on you to conform and be like everybody else, and you were never allowed to think for yourself, to go a different way. Maybe some of you were raised in families where you were challenged, be an individual and go for it. So a lot of you are going to respond to this statement totally different, be normal being abnormal. Be comfortable with that. It's okay for me to feel that way. And that's why I'm a huge fan of Tim Tebow. Why? He is willing to stand alone. He is willing to go against the majority. He is willing to be comfortable being abnormal. You say, but wait a minute. If I do that, man, I'm going to be made fun of. I'm going to get persecuted at work. I got some good news. The Lord talks to us about that. John chapter 15, he's talking to his disciples. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind they hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you. As it is, you don't belong to the world. I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Are people making fun of you because you're a Christian? Hallelujah. You're finally starting to look like Jesus Christ. And if we're not careful in our culture, we want to fit in and be accepted by everybody so much that we're uncomfortable with being abnormal. We need more people at CCV who will stand up for the truth, who will stand up for Jesus Christ at home, in their neighborhood, in the marketplace, at school, wherever God places us. We must stand up for what is right regardless of the truth. And we got to do it in love. And if we do that, we're going to be abnormal. We're going to be different. But I believe that's today of what it takes to make the church special. Let's pray. Lord God, today we thank you for sending Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us to be aware today that the whole postmodern thinking that's going on is totally against the ideals of the Church of Jesus Christ, and help us not to go the way of the world. People today need hope. They're confused. They're hopeless because they've missed the truth, who is Jesus Christ. Help us then to share Jesus everywhere we go. Help it to be a natural part of our lives. We pray that we won't be involved in Christians as a once-a-week routine, but it would be a day-by-day reality because you are Lord. We recommit ourselves to you, to follow you and serve you and share you with others. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.